I want to welcome each of you. This is a Deeper Conversations coaching class. My name is Ann Kelly. Today is October 20th in the year 2021. And with us today are Betsy, Yayoi, Rhonda, Anthea, Chuck, Jenny, and Lalia. Welcome each of you. Do we have a volunteer who would please read our class agreements for us?
I can do it.
Thank you very much, Anthea.
You're welcome. All right, seven class agreements. Confidentiality. We agree to keep all information we hear within the classes or from our classmates confidential. This includes our live classes and listening to audios of the classes. Positive focus. We agree to give positive feedback, to acknowledge versus criticize, to be accepting. Hold the space. We agree to listen without interruption. Presence. We agree to be fully present to the class without distraction or multitasking. Beginner's mind. We agree to be curious and open, letting it all unfold. Self-responsibility. We agree to practice excellent self-care. Coaching feedback. We agree that only positive acknowledgements are offered by the class participants after the coaching, focusing on the competencies observed and the strengths of the coach. The class facilitators may offer some mentoring feedback designed to further the learning of the coach and the class participants. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anthea. That is always my intention. That's why I love being here and learning from you in this environment. Give me a little sign. Are you feeling critique-free today? Feeling inspired? Feeling like you want to force multiply our learning and celebration? Me too. Thank you very much. Okay. Next, we usually offer a little clearing, a little connection, a little pause in our day. Was it Boris? What did he say? Power the pause?
Play the pause.
Play the pause. Yes. Take advantage of the pause. So a pause, it's also a great place to practice a pause or a connection or a clearing. They really made me nervous in coach school because I just thought everybody knew how to do that and I did not. It didn't come naturally. I was always looking for a little thing I could read and do that. So the more practice I got at that, the better and easier it was for me. And of course, the benefit goes to my clients. So we would first and foremost love to learn from you. Is there a short process, 30 to 60 seconds, that you use to center yourself, increase your coaching mindset, kind of get your head on straight, your heart on straight before you begin coaching, one that you would share with us?
We'll share sometime.
Rhonda, thank you for volunteering. If you'd like, we can all have our cameras off. You let us know. You will be the facilitator and actually put us in that connection, and we will experience that as you guide us. So what do you recommend we do with our cameras?
You can keep them on unless you're more comfortable with turning them off, but
okay,
you can absolutely keep them on. So one of the things that I like to do is to sometimes, because my days can be so crazy and it seems like I really have time before I coach somebody to even prepare. So I like to try to reset my breathing. And I don't know if anyone has done that before. And sometimes they call it 4-7-8 breathing. So 4, 7, and 8 are just the counts that you would do as you're doing this. So I'll demonstrate, and it's recommended that you do it 3 or 4 times in a row just to get your breathing reset. So the first thing that you would do is that you would inhale through your nose to the count of, I'm sorry. First thing that you're going to do is totally exhale in a count of four. So you're just going to let everything out of your lungs. And then you're going to hold your breath to a count of seven. And then you're going to fill your lungs back up. And then exhale to the count of eight. So the purpose is to completely exhale everything out, to breathe in and hold it, and then to exhale again. This is also a great breathing exercise if you're speaking and you're nervous, and it just helps you just reset and calm yourself.
Rhonda, thank you so much. I don't even know how long that was, 45 seconds, maybe 60 seconds. And look at the change, at least, that I felt. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I like the reset. I think sometimes in terms of how to make this appealing to a wider audience, and some folks are, yes, and I want to do my chakras and this and everything all at once. Let's go right now. And others are very leery. So I want to use language that's honoring, and who doesn't understand reset nowadays? We look for the reset button on things.
We do.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have our own.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. We do not have any brand new coaches with us today. So, but we do offer the opportunity at the beginning of each class, Monday and Wednesday, to pause again. I love that pause. And just reflect back on the topic that we had on Monday, which was maintains presence, is what we spoke about on Monday. So what would you like to share that came to you as a result of, or afterwards, or as you thought about that topic of maintains presence? Whether you were there, listen to the recording, or just speak to the competency.
Well, I'm going to speak to something very specific right at this moment, which is interesting because it's going to be difficult for me to maintain presence. I am looking out my window and I see seven black vultures, condors, sitting on top of a tree. And I have two cats and they go outside. And so my presence is going to be distracted. I'm going to keep checking just to make sure nothing raw is going on out there. So that's in terms of presence. I thought I would just tell you it's going to be difficult.
Lalia, is there anything you can do now that would help you focus here, even if we were not with you for a couple minutes?
Oh, you won't be here. I mean, I'm talking about occasionally glancing out.
Okay.
And so just if anybody sees me do that you know what's going on. I could have turned my computer, but then there's too much glare coming at me. So
yeah. No, I'd be running out in the yard with a broom, shrieking.
Well, Well, I actually went out and I didn't want to get too close to them because I was terrified. I mean, they're enormous. And there's seven of them. It's just very bizarre.
Well, we will.
I have a lot of wildlife where I live.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you.
So sorry. I just wanted
to. No. This is self-responsibility to me. Hey, I'm taking care of business. This is what I'm doing. If you see me doing this, this is what it means. Other than that, I'm here.
You're right.
Yay. Okay. Anything related to our previous topic? Anything else related to our previous topic?
Yeah, I had two things that I've kind of been chewing on. And one is the questions that you asked at the end that just landed with me really strongly. And those, the when I'm fully present, I know, and when I'm fully present, I feel. And the I know who I am part was really, it just came so quickly to me. And so just kind of sitting in that concept and then asking myself, when do I not know who I am? So when am I not fully present? And just kind of like, you know, in any conversation or in any moment, or where is the resistance? So I took that to a much deeper place than just the coaching space, but just playing around with that a little bit and enjoying the process.
Excellent. And we have time if you'd like to share your second. You said you had two, totally optional.
Oh, the other realized thing that I've been chewing on is what Lalia said about boredom, which I loved the honesty, and was thinking back about clients where I'd felt stagnation. And as coaches, I feel like so much of us have this forward momentum. You know, it's like, let's move, let's learn, let's go forward. And when you have a client that's really stuck, or has repetitive behavior patterns, that how frustrating that can be. And so just going back to in my own space, realizing that for me, that would be a marker to then reassess whether or not my skill set was beneficial for them anymore and possibly refer them on to something else, which I have done in the past. I think Lalia mentioned she did the same thing. So just contemplating that disconnection when momentum isn't taking place and just that, you know, that process.
Jenny, thank you. And I want to underscore that it of course a client can say, I don't want to work with you anymore.
Yes.
Anytime. But we don't talk a whole lot about coaches saying, I may not be the best person to work with you. Yeah. And this is what we're going to do as a result of that. Overcome it, work on it, or refer you, or whatever we'll do. But yeah, we get to decide as well what works for me.
Yeah.
Can I be present with this person, or is it too overwhelming on some level for me? And then they're just not getting the coaching that they should get. It's a win-win at that point. It's a win-win. Thank you. Thank you. Other thoughts on presence? Maintains presence. They keep making these harder. Mm-hmm. Maintains. There's a lot of maintenance in this. Have you seen this? There's more maintenance than there is in my Prius. There's a lot of maintenance. Establish and maintains agreements. Maintains presence. They're creeping this in. They're creeping this in. We're going to have to work hard. We can't do it once and it's done, can we?
I have a thought to share.
Please.
About it. And, you know, what I'll say is that in the work I do, there's a lot of different kinds of activities. And the one-on-one coaching is one part of it, which many of you may have the same situation. And but I love the one-on-one coaching the best. And so what I find is that, you know, when the other pieces are causing me frustration or stress, that just that opportunity to coach and maintain that presence, I find very refreshing. And really is almost like exercising a muscle that totally calms me in that session, but then also.
Betsy, I don't know how that was for me. I don't know how that was for others, but you broke up quite a bit for me. Was that true for anyone else?
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No.
And that's new. I was not noticing that earlier. That's new.
Yeah. I just got a sign that your internet connection is unstable. Wow. So in essence, you know, bottom line, I find the maintaining presence refreshing and helpful, you know, hopefully to the client. And I think that's the case, but also to me as the coach.
Yeah. Us, we get to take care of ourselves here a lot. We have a responsibility to take care of ourselves, to understand ourselves.
Yeah. And Betsy, I agree. I'm in the same type of situation. It sounds like there's so much going on all the time. Mm-hmm. And I love when I can do the one-on-one coaching. Sometimes I have to take myself out of my office to do it so that I can maintain presence, because this is a frantic space for me. Most of the time there's, you know, I juggle when I'm here, it feels like.
Yeah.
So sometimes I just have to take myself away, go outside or go in a different room so that it's like that reset button so that I can maintain presence.
Yeah. I absolutely relate.
Thank you. Anything else on presence? Maintains presence. Did you notice it? Did you witness it in your family, in your work, in your community? What did you notice?
Well, this conversation has brought some things to my mind. There's a book. I hope you don't mind if I bring something from the outside in. By the power pose woman, Amy Cuddy. Her latest book is called Presence. But it's based on how people come across when they're speaking, when they're interviewing, that kind of thing. She recommends, you know, kind of maintaining openness in order to create that presence. And it reminded me, as we're talking about this, that in my coaching school, they would tell us that if we're feeling like we're getting away from being present, to just plant our feet in the ground and think about grounding ourselves, much like what she says, to just kind of bring us back to being present. So I actually do remind myself when I'm in a situation coaching and I'm kind of like losing what's going on with the person or not quite, I'm like, you know, it's like the reset thing. I just think about my feet planted in the ground and just getting solid.
Mm-hmm. And what does that do for you in the moment? How do you experience that in the moment when you
take? Well, it's exactly that. It's in the moment. It kind of brings me into the moment and brings me back to really kind of being able to be present for that person. Yeah. It's about me and it's about them thing.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, what's coming up for me, you know, when it comes to presence it's also an absence, right? So, you know, as you are maintaining a presence or your presence for another, there is such an absence of everything else, right? Mm-hmm. And so what I often feel is that when I'm actually truly present, there's such a clearing, there is such an absolute sort of release of everything else, right? So I find that to be really interesting, that sort of dichotomy of, you know, to be present, you have to be absent from everything else that's occupying you. The other way that I found I tend to, I find it to be very helpful in helping me maintain presence is my gaze, right? The way I gaze into the eyes of the other and really just staying there. Because it's really easy. All of us would have that habit. I do too, especially when I'm thinking and, you know, I'm looking away. But I found that when I actually hold my gaze with the other, there's a real sort of magic that happens there. That holds me in presence, but there's sort of a very profound energetic connection that brings a whole load of other stuff. You know, that wisdom, that humility, that listening. And that listening, it's not even just active listening, it's almost global listening, because you're sort of going quite deep into that person, right? Yeah. So that's what just came out for me.
And Thea, I have a question. I had a question. Where do you suppose they all go? There's a whole bunch of questions piled up in the freeway that gets all clogged up there.
It's where the question party is. That's the question rave.
It's got to be. It's a tremendous traffic jam of wonderful questions that will come back. And that one went to join the others. But I'll comment on the absence you mentioned. I was speaking to the second point that went to the party. But I love the absence and the presence, the absence and the presence. Can we really have one without the other? One of the expressions that stuck with me I heard years ago is the greatest gift we can give our client is rapt attention, R-A-P-T, rapt attention. I sometimes ask my clients, who else in your life gives you rapt attention? Mm. Sometimes there's one other person who does that. So that's that level of presence. If I'm there giving rapt attention, I know what it was. I think it may have had something to do with, I was thinking to myself, that takes a toll on me. It takes a physical and emotional toll. I can't give you my rapt attention for 60 minutes and then turn to the next person for 60 minutes and do it equally as well. I am not capable of that because it wears. It's tiring for me. Rewarding, but tiring. But it's that presence, that level of I am right here, right now with you. Listen, I am giving you my rapt attention. And then what do we do when we increasingly find this is getting harder to do with this individual perhaps or a group? It's getting harder for me as the coach to maintain that rapt attention. So Yayoi.
Yeah, I just it just popped into my head, but I kind of think that this is ICF's way of helping us coaches to keep us in check as well as keep the clients in check. You know, it's to kind of a set of rules or just like a little boundary to keep us coaches, you know, caring for ourselves, self-care, so that we're not drained all the time. And also for us to be providing the best that we can for a client, but also, you know, just these guidelines to just keep us and the client in check. And I think it's like nudging us towards that, you know, be good to yourself, but also to your client. Don't give all the time that you're not being functional or effective. So I think there are these guidelines for us to kind of keep us all in check, client and coach.
I agree. And I love the two for our benefit, for our, because there was one competency added after 20 years, one. Mm. Embodies a coaching mindset, which is about how I be. It's so mindful. They had to pick other markers as the evidence because it can't see the mind. So it's all about minds. It's all about me and the care. And as you said, Yayoi, the benefit to the client. Mm-hmm. Excellent. I'm going to move on so that we have loads of time to heap acknowledgments on Jenny's head when we finish. So for our volunteers, thank you, Jenny, and Rhonda will keep their cameras on. You know, I haven't asked that in a while. I used to always ask and leave it up to the client, would you like the camera on or off? And I've never had anybody say camera off. So Rhonda, would you like your camera and Jenny's camera on? The others of us will be camera off. But what
do we have time to take a little break?
Yes, let me set this up. And then if you're
going to come. Jenny did, but.
Yes, our break just started. Rhonda, what's your comfort level? Camera on?
Yeah, let's keep them on. Oh, Jenny, if it's okay with you, keep it on.
Okay, so the rest of us will have cameras off. Jenny, let's start our break. And when you come back, Jenny, let us know what you'd like us to listen for and look for. And then we'll start. Take a quick break. Any questions for me? All right, well, I'm going to go heat up my coffee. Welcome back. Well, Jenny is rejoining us. I'm going to invite each of you, with the exception of Rhonda, to decide on a competency, a marker, or a skill that you would like to look for in addition to what we will look for in Jenny's coaching. So it can be one of the subsets of a marker, can be a whole competency that you'd like to focus on. So that's your focus. Please go ahead and decide on that now and jot it down, because we'll ask you to share that with us as well. And welcome back, Jenny. We hope it was successful.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Very good. And what would you like for us to listen for in your coaching?
For me, there's two key points. One is playing the pause. Thank you, Boris, for that. And the other is just powerful questions.
Okay. And for anyone who wasn't here when we were discussing playing the pause, Jenny, will you take a second and tell them what that looks like? How will they know when you're playing the pause?
For me, I think sometimes I can over-explain. It's pretty habitual, so you might see some of that. and also I can stack questions. So I think just asking a question and pausing, taking more time before I ask a question, and slowing down in general, I think is kind of what I'm looking for in myself today.
Okay, very good. Well, we will be looking for that. Looks like Debbie just joined us. Welcome, Debbie. I will get that. Welcome, welcome. Good to see you. We're just about to start our live coaching, Debbie, and here's what we're looking for in Jenny's coaching. The use of silence, pausing, and powerful questions. So we will be looking for that. And Jenny, if you would go till about 5 after the hour, try not to go beyond that. If your client is on the verge of world peace and enlightenment, go as long as you'd like. But we will aim for about 5 after. And you may begin. Thank you. The rest of us will mute our cameras and our mics.
Okay. Thank you, Rhonda, for agreeing to do this today. I just wanted to start with some real brief housekeeping. I take notes when I coach, and so often I will be looking down or away from the camera. This is not a good thing or a bad thing. It's just my part of my process. So just wanted to let you know that if I'm looking away, it doesn't mean I'm distracted. It's just taking a note. And that when I take a note, that's also not a good thing or a bad thing. It's just part of my process. In addition to that, I often offer feedback or some kind of reflection. So what I'm picking up, what I'm hearing is, what's coming up for me. And if at any time that doesn't land with you, please correct me. It's obviously your session and about you. So just let me know. And then I also like to start my sessions with just a little 30 seconds of self-care and settling in. Mm-hmm. And so if you're up for that, I would just invite a few deep breaths. I'm breathing a little heavily because I just ran outside with my dog. So go back to your breathing exercise, right? Which was so
yes.
grateful or so great at the beginning of the hour. And then I like to just ask if there's any permission slip that you would like to write yourself before we get started. And permission slips are exactly like they sound. It's just a little bit of self-care and permission for you to feel, have, do, you know, whatever comes up for you. Mm-hmm. And if you have one, it's great. And if you don't, that's okay too.
Thank you. And if you don't mind, I'll take notes too, because I want to remember what we talked about. And I'm not feeling like I need any permission slips. I think I'm okay.
Nice. All right. Yeah. Okay. What would you like to coach around for today?
So I my allergies are terrible. So if I clear my throat, I apologize for that. But I, as I mentioned a little while ago, I in any given day feel like a juggler. Mm-hmm. There are so many things coming at me all day, every day. And the role that I'm in is a stressful role. You know, we talk about this as a leadership team. We're in stressful roles. There's a lot of deadlines. There's a lot of things that we have very, very short lead times to do. Mm-hmm. Right now, we are at the end of our fiscal year. And we've got that ends the end of next week, the end of October. We start into the new fiscal year and kickoffs in a couple of weeks. Part of my job is to do the workshops, develop and lead the workshops, or at least make sure that they're being taken care of. Mm-hmm. That happened during kickoff. I've got videos that need to be done. Different people within the business I need to pull in to get them to do things while they're trying to close out the year. And so it is just crazy mania this time of year. And then as soon as I say it's crazy mania this time of year, then I think, you know what? It's no different than any other time of year. Same things happen all the time. And one of the things that happens to me is I will often wake up in the middle of the night and with my head is just going. Just thoughts and what I think are solutions, although at 3 o'clock in the morning, I don't know if they really are good solutions, but all kinds of things, you know, everything is just all going off in my head. So I used to come into my desk and write post-it notes, and so I'd get up in the morning and there would be a mosaic of notes on my desk. Now, instead of that, I start sending myself emails, and sometimes I'll be sending my team emails, and my team has said, do you expect us to be answering those things at 3 a.m? I'm like, no, I hope you don't know they're there until you get in the morning. Ignore until you get there. But it's just part of my process. I feel like if I don't get it out of my head, I can't get back to sleep. So this is a whole lot of buildup too. Mm-hmm. I'm a ping pong ball, you know, between two paddles all day long. Mm-hmm. Half hour calls, trying to find a half hour space to get work done. I know it's not unusual. I think that's just the pace of today. We're all on that pace. But what I really want to kind of resolve here, maybe not here at some point, to be on my way to resolving, is we talked about presence. How do I maintain my presence? Because I feel like I multitask all the time. And how do I stay present in where I need to be for those little half hour slivers? And how can I be settled with this always craziness going on?
Okay. Thank you. So definitely hearing the stress, chaos, I think you used the word mania, a lot of expectations and busyness going on for you, and that it is to be expected. You know, I've heard you said that it's definitely to be expected. It's kind of part of the job. And even that realization that it's not necessarily just one time of the year, but sometimes just it always feels like there's this juggling match going on. So the maintaining presence and how to settle among the mania. Mm-hmm. Is kind of where you're at right now.
Yes.
Okay. And so if you had, I guess what I want to ask is what would that look like for you? if you were maintaining presence? What would that, how would you know that you had that?
That's a great question. So while I think if you ask anyone that I work with, they think I do maintain presence. And they would tell you that I'm probably one of the most calm and cool under pressure people that they know, and patient. Inside, I'm going, so I would know because I wouldn't be going and in my head counting down the days, like, when can I be done? When are we going to be done with this?
Gotcha. Okay. So what I'm hearing is a sense of calm and a bit more peace, and internally would be an indicator and for this goal of maintaining presence. Does yes. that ring true for you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And then you had a secondary goal in there, which is how to settle in this process. And does that still ring true with, you know, that sense of calm and presence and that being?
I think it's hand in hand. I think it to me, I feel like it's the same thing. If I can maintain that presence and an internal calmness,
okay.
then that's, you know, it's like, oh, how beautiful that would be.
Yes. Yes. So kind of a calm in the middle of the storm, so to speak, internally.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. Just imagining that feeling and just kind of sinking into that. Mm-hmm. Just feels good. Yes. That sinking. So in your job, when there is so much going on and there are so many demands, what is your process for finding peace or finding presence currently?
I don't have one until the end of the day, okay. whenever the end of the day comes along, because generally it's back to back. There's rarely a day where things aren't, but one thing to the next, and I am instant messages coming in, my cell phone's ringing and texts are popping in. I'm trying to be on a Zoom call, which complicates things even more because mm-hmm. you kind of need to be present. They know when you're not.
Right.
And I've got to say the last 18 months have been even worse. My theory on the last 18 months is nobody's traveling. So you don't have that little break while there's people in transit somewhere. we're all connected all the time and we're global. So there's really no respect. No one's driving to the office. No one's driving home from the office. We're eating at our desk. There's no respect for time. You know, it's just one constant. And then you have to decide when your day is over. Mm-hmm. And turn it all off and get up and just walk away, knowing whatever's there is going to be left. And I'm going to wake up in 3 a.m. and remember half the things that I didn't get to and start sending myself emails again.
Right. Yes. I've heard that from multiple people, especially with people working from home now. And so there's even more blurred lines in that yes. space. So you mentioned the word mania early before mm-hmm. and just kind of this chaotic feeling. And I think you did a great job of, you know, just unpacking that a bit with this constant flow. When you get to the end of your day and you mm-hmm. go back to this place of presence and creating peace for yourself, what does that look like then? What's your process?
So it's almost like every day the same. You know, it used to be, you know, at the end of the day, go out and I'll try to get out and get a walk if it's still light outside or if it's not raining or something. But it's, you know, you get up and then you go, oh, now what's for dinner? right? So that's the next thing, the next piece of mania is what's for dinner? But you know, and we just calm down and we sit and have some dinner. And quite honestly, as awful as this sounds, you can sit down in front of the TV and stare and go, and then go to bed. Because that, to me, that allows me to, it's on and it's talking and I don't know what's, you know, but yeah. I just am not paying attention. I just, it allows me to just zone out.
Right. Yes. I totally hear that. And what's kind of coming through for me is it's kind of there's an on and then there's an off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of curious, is this, this presence and this peaceful space and this, this learning how to kind of be settled in the mania, is that something? Here, let me think for a second. Well, I want to back up. We can back up for a second.
Sure.
The concept at the end of the day, when you were mentioning going for a walk and you're in this space, how does that work into the category of bringing you present or bringing you peace?
Oh, it works really well in it. It allows me, you know, it's just kind of reality. I know the work is reality, but it pops me back into life. Okay. You know, it's kind of the difference between, and it's kind of weird to think about when I say it, but there's work and mm-hmm. then there's real life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And work is real life, mm-hmm. you know, but I'm by no means a workaholic. I do what I have to do for the job. It's not, I love every minute of it. It's right. not, you know, I must have that. So being able to get out and have a walk and my husband and I talk and, you know, it's like, huh, okay, this is life.
Yeah. I always love that physical movement. It feels great. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think it's a great thing. So what else would bring you more presence? What else would bring you some of that calming energy?
That's where I'm stuck.
Okay.
In the midst of all of these things, you know, in any given day, and I can almost say in any given hour of the day, I feel like I am, because there's so many things that are happening at the same time, I feel like I'm juggling, it's like you're juggling a chainsaw, a baseball, and a feather, mm-hmm. and trying to keep it all going, and then, you know, as you finish one thing, throw it out, and then the orange comes in.
Right.
And then you're juggling. And then as you throw the next thing out, someone throws a paper plate in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always something else, generally not repeatable, which is, you know, it's like new. And so it's, you know, sometimes I say it's like on a hamster wheel, although I'm seeing new scenery all the time.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The motion.
Mm-hmm.
So that constant momentum, that constant motion. What would happen if you were to hit a pause button?
I would miss important deadlines.
Okay. And so when it comes to building this peace and this presence in there, and this flow of juggling, you know, you mentioned this concept of juggling in the hamster wheel. So there's a lot of motion is what's popping up. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of motion going on. I'm curious to know, when in motion, mm-hmm. where you could find presence or peace when in motion.
That's a really good question. And I'm glad you asked it, because it's making me kind of reflect that at the end of the day, I'll walk into the kitchen and my husband, you know, I'll go, "Oh, thank goodness that day's over." And he said, "All I hear is you chatting and laughing all day." And I have to say, there's all this stuff going on, and it's just exhausting and crazy and manic. I am very lucky that the company that I work for, the business unit that I'm in and the company that I work for, is like a big family. Mm-hmm. Like 1,400 people that really, really like each other a lot and work well together most of the time. And, you know, we're all under that pressure, mm-hmm. and we can find those moments on the calls where we do laugh and, you know, can, you know, share something that just happened, or, you know, share a story or talk about what we're going to do. And then we get down to work, and there's a lot of work to do. So I think that is a moment, you know, where you do kind of let it go and you go, okay, you know, ha, we're laughing, we're having a good time. Okay. Well, now we're back on that wheel. Let's go.
Right. Right. Yeah. So that camaraderie and that work-based family is helpful.
Mm-hmm. Very much. Nice. Very much so.
Nice. Another word that I know that we've been tossing around a lot is kind of the word reset, mm-hmm. and the idea of this pause, this reset while in motion. And I'm kind of just curious to know, well, first of all, I just want to stop and check in with you and see, mm-hmm. are we kind of working toward, or do you kind of feel like we're headed in the right direction and working toward finding some calm in the chaos?
Yes.
Okay, that's great. And then also just the idea of when you come home at the end of the day and you have that let go and you're just like, oh, I'm just kind of curious if you could tell me, like, what's behind that space for you?
It's relief. Mm-hmm. For me, it's sometimes it's relief and another day down, which then when I think about that, I go, is that a really good way to be thinking about it? Another day down. I don't know. I don't know that is, but sometimes that's just, you know, another day closer to the weekend.
Okay. So letting go of the day is kind of like, mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. And is there any way, what would happen if you were to work in letting go throughout the day?
I think it would be great, but I just don't know where to work it in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I think sometimes that peace that you were talking about in the mania, you know, that's one of those great things. I know that we're kind of, I guess we still have 5 minutes. So we still have a few minutes to go. Presence. You said the word presence and maintaining presence.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work in the mania?
Well, That's where I am challenged sometimes, because in the midst of the mania, and I am trying to maintain presence for whatever that half hour, if I'm on a call, or they call calls anymore, if I'm on a Zoom, and we're trying to do something, or it's a group thing, and my head starts going off in another direction because I'm being IM'd or something, you know, and if I turn everything off quite often, and I'll do that, but the minute I turn it back on and I've got 30 seconds, maybe, if even, between calls, and I look at emails and there's 27 emails that happened while I was on that one call, then it all just starts right back up again.
Right. Yes. So what's really coming through for me is like this tug of war between the responsibilities that you have and then a need for some sort of sense of calm. But both kind of feel like, you know, the responsibilities you have aren't going anywhere. They're kind of consistent. They're going to stay. How could you best incorporate a bit of calm or presence into this space in order to serve that need while still juggling?
That's like the million-dollar question for me. The how?
What happens if you don't find an answer to that?
Then I keep the pace. I keep it going until I say, okay, I'm done. No more.
And how does that feel for you?
It's kind of mixed. It's a mixed feeling for me. It's a mixed feeling because I do like what I do. I just wish it was slower pace. I think everybody does, but we realize that's what it is. And it, when I finally do say, okay, that's it, I'm done, I'm sure I'll feel like there are a million bricks that get lifted off my shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm kind of wondering if I wanted to just say if things stay the same for you as they are, where does that put you?
It keeps me on the hamster wheel. It just keeps me in this juggling. When this is something that's been going on for, but it's not new. Okay. And I welcome coaching on it because it's right. Something that's just been going on. Just been going on.
Yeah. Okay. And I am sorry to say, unfortunately, we are running out of time. I know that it doesn't necessarily feel like we landed on a major space for, but I'm kind of curious if you have any takeaways.
Yeah, I think it's given me something to go away and think about, you know, where does this put me?
Yeah.
If the pace just keeps going, where does it put me?
Yeah.
And then what do I want to do about that?
Yeah. So I think it's a great thing to do some further inquiry. And just on that note, are there any kind of accountability aspects that you would be wanting around the subject matter?
Yeah, it would not, you know, I would love it if you would follow up with me in a week.
Yeah.
Just to have the conversation around what did I think about where it puts me and what do I want to do about it?
Okay. Nice. Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Jenny. This is great. Thanks.
Right. Thanks.
And welcome back. Welcome back. 4 pages.
Oh,
4 pages. You think I'm lying? Look at this. I can't even list them all up. This is all of the wonderful stuff I heard. Thank you very much, Jenny. Thank you so much. And thank you, Rhonda, for volunteering. Let me start with you, Jenny. Your focus was playing the pause, which is a phrase that a coach, Boris, used in the last call, playing the pause, and powerful questioning. How did that session go for you?
Ah.
What does that mean? What does that mean? When you say that, what does that mean?
Well, I noticed that I was stacking questions. And so then I had to pull my presence back into not noticing what I was doing and focusing on Rhonda. It was difficult for me to play the pause. I would find myself wanting to roll right in and have to be like, whoa, I need to back up for a second. So I caught myself a few times, which isn't as smooth as I would like it, but I guess it's at least I was implementing and trying to practice it. So
you were on the road to mastery. Are any of you, this is the bus to mastery. What are you doing on here? All of us, we're on the road to mastery. Yes. Is there anybody here not on the road to coaching mastery? Get off the bus now. We are on the way to coaching mastery. Yeah. And part of that is what? Yeah. Who hasn't? Who has not hung up on that? Not, you know. Let's go to your client and get a little bit of feedback. We're going to talk much more about this, but Rhonda, what would you like to share with your coach, Jenny?
So I thought you did great pauses.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Because there were a few times where I was able to just sit here and go, you know what? This is kind of nice. This is what I need in my day. It's just to be able to sit here for a few seconds and think. So you gave me that gift of several times during this to just sit here and get to think. What am I doing? What is going on? I don't get that time. I'm just like this all the time. You mentioned pause and reset, and what it did was just plant that in my head. You know, if nothing else, those are the words that are going on in my head, which I think is brilliant.
Yes.
So that was really great. I can't remember what question you asked me, but you know, it helped me reflect on, yeah, my husband's hearing me chatting and laughing back here. He thinks that's what I do for a living is chat and laugh. So it just got me thinking about, how do I be able to bring, you know, even more of that into the work, into the mania, at least if you're laughing about how crazy it is, you're laughing and you're feeling better. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great.
Good.
Thank you, Rhonda.
No, thank you, Jenny.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jenny, how did that feedback land with you?
I'm grateful. I think, for me, it feels like there's just a bit of a tug of war, you know, going on between the responsibilities and then this desire to find some peace in that space. And so, you know, it'd be great if we could solve all the world's problems in 30 minutes, right? But it doesn't always happen. And so I was pleased when at the end she got to a space of just starting to chew on some of these questions and carrying those questions forward. And I do think that that is, you know, one, you know, it's a step on the road to getting them answered. So getting feedback that it was a positive session and that some of that stopping and thinking process about the questions has started is good. It's a good thing.
Yeah. The pauses your client said were particularly effective for her. Mm-hmm. The language I heard was like, wow, this is what I've been looking for in my day. It was just little mini pauses where I could process. Mm-hmm. And that was a gift that you let her experience in the session.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then of course there would be some time afterwards to go, wow, what was that like? And just process that. Thank you very much. We have a nice about 15 minutes to provide some feedback. Please leave a little bit more than that. Maybe about 5 minutes for the end so I can provide some feedback as well. But this is a very deep topic. And there were so many skills on display here. I'd like to hear from each of the coaches who were collecting evidence and looking. And again, Jenny, we'd like to hear what you saw, but her emphasis was playing the pause, asking powerful questions. Who would like to start with some feedback for Jenny? And I think we'll have time if you'd like to share what you, so you were looking for something for Jenny, and then you were looking for a skill or a competency for yourself. So who'd like to start? Yeah,
you eat. Yeah. I think, Jenny, you're too hard on yourself. Because when you said you didn't feel like you had any pauses, I was like, no, you had so many good pauses. I was like, wow, she's playing the pause here. That's what I was doing when I was taking my notes. And I was saying, oh, that's a great pause. That's a great place that she paused. And then you had wonderful questions, which really made Rhonda pause and think. And those I thought were wonderful spaces for her to keep. And there was no like magic resolution, because this is, you know, such a big topic anyway. But I think you got what you were looking for. And I think you're just a little too critical of your own self, as all of us are. And the thing that I was looking for was about action steps and accountability. But I think when you, at the end, you were saying, although we didn't reach a conclusion, these were things that you could chew on or, you know, think deeply about. And I thought that was a good way of kind of bringing it in as an action step. So that was my take on it.
Thank you, Yayoi. Thank you, Yayoi. And thank you for sharing what you were looking for and how that showed up in the session, as well as Jenny. Great. Next,
I'll go next in case I fade out. Well, I still remember. Thank you for that, Jenny and Rhonda. You know, well, you both kept me till now, even though today is especially difficult for me to stay awake. I agree with Yayoi, Jenny. I thought you actually played the pauses really well. You may not have felt it, but the pause that you played was for Rhonda. You know, I hear so much of a pause on Rhonda's part. And I think that's actually quite masterful. Because, you know, as a coach, you know, actually a lot of it, as much as we want to hear from the client and let the client speak, it's also so important to be able to masterfully create a space for them to pause and reflect. And I definitely, you know, heard a lot of that. The question that really stood out for me that I thought was really powerful was how you finally brought the two seemingly sort of, you know, opposite parts of Rhonda's, sharing together, which was, and I'll always remember this, how can you find some peace in this mania. And that's when she remembered what her husband said, that you you know, you seems to be just having fun all day, or you're laughing all day. And so that segues into my own observation. I wanted to look out for evokes awareness. And I thought that question really evoked the awareness for Rhonda. And I felt that was so powerful for her to sort of find a way to bring the two together. And she said that at the end of it, to be able to find more of those moments in the mania.
Nice.
Yeah, so thank you so much for me to observe all of that.
Thank you, Anthea. And I'm pretty sure that powerful questions went to live inside evokes awareness. And there were some other skills as well. They didn't go away, but they're now part of that. So when you bring up evokes awareness, absolutely. Yeah, those skills there. Thank you. Debbie and then Lalia.
So Jenny, like all of us, we're very hard on ourselves. I thought you did fine. I thought you did really well. And I was writing down some of the questions, if I could also borrow them too. I found your questions to be really thought-provoking. Like one that I really liked was, you know, pausing or resting in motion, what would you work in your day to let go? And I remembered when you asked that, Rhonda really paused for a long time. And I know that makes us all uncomfortable, but it was so great that you were there with her and you let her think that through. And she said, oh, that's a $1 million question. And so that was really great. And that's, I find that when there's pauses, that means it's working. It's, she's going deeper into that. So really well done with that. I think we all do this. We stack the questions and you know, I do that. And I got to be careful I don't do that. And I did notice that a little bit. But, you know, like you said, you were aware that you were doing that. And, you know, that's, for me, at least, I find when I stack them, I have to just pause and go, actually, let me start again. Here's the question I want to ask. And you did that. So that was good. So it's not like beating yourself up, going, oh, stop stacking the questions. Like, you know what, in that moment, I just asked you three questions all at once. Let's backtrack. I think the only other thing I want to mention is that I wanted to, now for me, I mean, I wanted to know more about what was realistic for Rhonda, because there's just so much. And maybe that's the question, which is, you know, so what is realistic for you? What's good enough? You can't do it all. What's good enough? So I think if we had more time, maybe we would have been able to explore that. But overall, Jenny, really great questions. And I was just glad to be an innocent bystander listening.
Thank you.
Oh, Alalia, yeah, I think you were gonna go next.
Hi. Yeah, Jenny, I actually thought your questions were fabulous. And it was very difficult because this would be a natural place to go out of presence and become an expert, you know, because I mean, there's so many tips that you see and read everywhere about stress reduction and how to manage your time. And, you know, I mean, I'm sitting there thinking there, well, I could have said, do this or try this, or, you know, or why don't you go walk some more or whatever that was coming out. And you just held the presence, and your questions were built on her words and what she said. And you use them to just simply evoke more awareness. I kept writing that down, you know, just questions that just like, how do you go beyond her current thinking? So, you know, you'd say, what else? What would happen? Where else would that put you? You know, those kinds of questions. So I was really impressed. And the thing that I thought of at the end, which was difficult and painful, you know, and we've all been there, right? You didn't get to it, right? She didn't get to the aha, this is what I'm going to do and it's going to change my life. giving the client the permission to not be there yet is, it's really valuable, actually. You know, and you did that. And that to me is the ultimate thing about presence.
Thank you, Lalia. And I finished on time based on our coaching session. So yay.
Lalia, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I think we have Chuck and Betsy, and then I'd like the last 6 minutes or so to heap my acknowledgments. Chuck and Betsy.
Okay, Betsy, Chuck, you want to go first? You go ahead, Chuck.
So the first thing that occurs to me is it's really hard to slow down when you know you have a half an hour and six or seven people watching you, you know? So, and then you have what was presented as, you know, what I would call stuckness, right? Mm-hmm. For Rhonda, that's stuck in this thing that I work with people like, you know, that are in your situation. That's all I hear anymore. It's just gotten so crazy everywhere. And you alluded to it a bunch of times. But what I thought you did really well is you moved her from, there's no way I can do anything about this, to, well, let me think about this. That's a long way across the continuum in half an hour. So that was pretty good. And it's, you know, it was kind of the, it proved its own point. If you have a, Rhonda, if you have like 5 seconds to think, you can figure some of this stuff out. You don't have the 5 seconds. So you bought Rhonda some of that time, which was really, I think, the essence of how we help people in the ICF model. Perfectly capable of figuring out something that might be able to be different if there is anything. We have to have space for it. So, and in terms of what I was looking for myself was recognizes and inquires when there's more to what the client is communicating. And I think you did a lot of that. I think you had more time, you could have done more of that, but it was very good. And then, you know, in terms of stacking questions, that kind of stuff, to me, that was just conversational. So if we're having a conversation, you ask it one way and you throw in a couple of words, that certainly wasn't a big whoop. No one else would notice that, I don't think, except for those of us who are upregulated to that crazy kind of stuff as coaches. So yeah, I thought it was a very, very good session for such a short period of time. And you also had a good client that certainly helps. So all good.
Thank you, Chuck. And I want to play that every time somebody says to me, what can you do in 30 minutes?
Right.
Betsy, I think we hear from you. And yes.
Sure. So I agree with what you know, everyone else has said. I think you did a fabulous job. And so thinking about the two areas that you wanted to focus on, the power of the pause, for me, that came through in so many ways. I was watching you as you were listening to Wanda, and you would change your position. You would smile at times. And so it felt to me like what that was doing was encouraging more thought and encouraging sharing more as well. So I thought you did a really great job with that listening and the pausing. To a degree. The other thing that I thought you did really well was I thought you captured Rhonda's thoughts very concisely. So what I'm hearing you say is, and you know, at one point you said, I hear you mention the word mania a lot. And I thought that was really a very powerful way of emphasizing what's coming through and your understanding of what's coming through. In what Rhonda was saying. So overall, I agree. I thought you did a very, very powerful job. And I agree with what Chuck said, moved Rhonda along on the continuum. It's a complicated issue, no doubt.
Very difficult.
Thank you, Betsy. Thank you. Thank you all for your feedback. I have some, but first, public service announcement. I expect all of you there this evening. It's not really evening. It's 4 p.m. Eastern time. So, and Thea, you may be a little early or late. Today, Stump the Ethics Experts. Go on your ICF login log on to your learning portal, the community of practice, ethics community of practice in 2.5 hours. They are meeting. Also, I mentioned this last time, if you would like to share an email address or a phone number with the class, put that in the chat to me. I'll pass it on to Jamie and she will distribute it to the class. If you've already done that, you don't need to do it again. Those are our two announcements. All righty. Also, and Monday, I'm back Monday to see you with, and we'll talk about listens actively. So, Jenny, I really liked your opening of the session. Some housekeeping. I take notes. I'm not distracted. I offer reflections. It's your session. 30-second self-care and settle in. Any permission slips. You offered all of that to your client right up front. Here's who I am. I'm your coach. I didn't hear an overt outcome. I didn't hear a real, it became apparent at the end, but I didn't hear one at the beginning, but you got there. You got there. One of the many great things I heard, and it was just nailed by Lalia, I think. You use the client's language over and over and over again. Sometimes you'd use the client's language and say, yeah, you know, what about this word? And your client would go, I don't know. And you go, okay, well, here's another one. What about that word? And then your client would go, oh, yeah. So it was just varied enough. The question was just not stacking. You asked one lukewarm reaction. There were a couple of times you came back with something very similar and the client bit on that one and had lots to say. It was a little shift, and in each case you were using their language and people love to hear their words. It's enlightening. It's not an ego thing. It's the answer. I loved how you just were all of us. What I'm hearing, this is an on and there's an off, and let me think about this. No, I'm going to back up. Who has not done that? Come on. I want to back up. You said that. Mm-hmm. I've heard it called a do-over. I want a do-over. And the question that you came up with was great. When you go for a walk at the end of the day, how has that helped? You were asking your client to connect the topic of presence with something she does. But beyond that, it was a great demonstration of, I can just stop talking and go, blah, 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 blah. Give me a minute here, because this is complex. I need to think about this. Mm-hmm. Give me just a minute. We're demonstrating the pause. I loved the what if questions, because this is inviting your client to shift from what is to what would happen. Constant motion, what would happen if you hit pause? I thought that was beautiful. Within motion, where could you find peace? So this is one of those examples of rewards. Constant motion, what would happen if you hit pause? Your client said, I'd miss important deadlines. So you came back with, within pause, where could you find peace? And then, good question. And then, boop, 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 boop. See that?
Yeah.
It was just following up on that connection, always in service of the client's agenda. You asked about the word reset. This was a great language, words. What do they mean to you? Reset, what's behind the end of the day sign? Relief, another day down. There was a lot to this. What would happen if you were to work in letting go throughout the day? Now, that's a leading question. Mm-hmm. And at this point, you've got, I don't know, just maybe 3 or 4 minutes left. So it's appropriate at that end and under these circumstances. What happens if you don't pause? You were helping your client build an image in front of her choices and possible choices. It was continuous. The questions were great. We're at half past. I have a little bit more for Jenny if she'd like to hear that. But I do want to honor your time. I think you all have, what's next week? We have our volunteers for next week. Thank you so much. And I appreciate you being here. You're more than welcome to stay. I've got like maybe 2 minutes more, but I do want to honor your time. So
quick question. Since I'm new to the group, how would you volunteer in the future? Do we ping you separately or how does that work?
Any day of the week, just let us know that you'd like to either coach or be coached on a Wednesday. It'll always be a Wednesday, and we are always happy to have volunteers. We usually ask on Mondays, but we get them at other days too. So, yeah, we have volunteers for a week from today, Pam and Betsy. But after that, thank you, Chuck, if you need to go. If you'd like to volunteer after next week, just let Julie or I know.
Okay, sounds good.
Very good. Thank you. And Jenny, do you have another 2 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Do you mind?
Thank you, everybody. Bye. Great session.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bye. Great. Bye. Have a great week, everyone.
Right. We'll see who.
Do you mind if I stay?
Do you? Is that okay, Jenny?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Perfect. Okay. Great. What a powerful question. What happens if you don't pause? Because now I pretend I know a lot about you, Rhonda. I don't know anything. But what, with these big, hairy topics that are so important, come on, I got to at least be able to do my job. This is a family. This is 1,400 people who like each other. We're all in this together. It's hard for all of us. I want to do my job. I want to do my job. And that seemed to be a box, almost picture your client had on their head, you know. How do we poke a little hole in that and begin, they can begin to envision. We don't tell them where to look. We just say something great like, what happens if you don't pause? Wide open. Wide open. Great question. Great question. And my gosh, in this, I like what I do. I wish it was a slower pace. I mean, there was so much here. I thought the slower pace may be an outcome, but I don't know at this point. But this was so powerful. Your client said, when I'm done, I'm going to feel like a million bricks were lifted off of me. Wow. Wow. Jenny, this is great. What happens if you don't pause? You got a great response. If things stay the same, where does that put you? Just another way of helping the client flesh out where they are. She gave you information there that was valuable. This is not new. Because then we can go, oh, well, that's interesting. Tell me more about that. Is this go back 1 year, 5 years? 30 years? Is this your first job? Was this, or is this just something recent? And then the takeaways, where does this put me in the, if the pace keeps going? Look, just as, I forget who said that, but how far you offered your client of movement. For your client to say, where does this put me if the pace keeps going? What do I want to do about that? Wow. And then the accountability, and your client said, yes, that would help me. I'm not a big fan of the ahas, because I don't know that ahas happen in coaching. I really don't. I think ahas happen when you're brushing your teeth. I do.
I'm going to write that down, Ann.
Because in the moment of being coached, it's like you knowing how the coaching's going while you're coaching. Let me do one thing at a time.
Right.
So I finish a session with my coach and now I can think about it. I can pause. I'm going to think about, where does this put me if the pace keeps going? What do I want to do about that? These are $1 million questions. These are not questions. These are responses from your client. this is stuff you can't give her, but it was there. It was there. I thought it was great. I thought it was great. I really did. Yeah.
I appreciate that. And when you mentioned a couple towards the end and the idea of like extrapolating a bit more history about like her work history and different things like that, I remember thinking like, I want to go deeper, but also like we were running out of time. And so that idea of, I think what really came through for me most is that Rhonda loves what she does. Like she loves it and it's a part of who she is. And yet there's this other thing. So that tug of war is really at present, and then figuring out how important is the piece, and you know, just stuff to stew on. But it's a subject that I think could have gone definitely for another half hour if we had the time. Yeah,
and we would know from our intake forms and foundation sessions,
yes,
history of our client, all that, we would have that information. But you're demonstrating solid foundational coaching skills that should take place in every session. I should be listening for my client's language, repeating that back. What does that do? What does that look like? Does that move your agenda forward? What does that mean? Tell me more. And those skills apply in any session, even if we don't know our client. And that's what you were doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
And the dog peed.
Right.
Yay!
Jenny, I want to thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. I always like it's such an honor to be invited into someone's little, you know, portion of their life for a few minutes. And it is a little nerve wracking when you have people watching, but I think it's always a courageous thing on both ends, but specifically the end of the client. So I appreciate that. And I will check in next week if you want me to.
Good. Yes. Because I will bet that I have an aha moment at 3 a.m. when that's when I have my aha moment.
Rhonda, yeah. Will you phone us all? I have everybody's phone number.
Please. I'll send you all emails at 3 a.m. like I do to my team when I have those aha moments.
That'd be great. That's wonderful. My husband's very much the same. So I understand that. It just, all the thoughts start going when everything gets quiet.
Either when I'm taking a shower or in the morning.
Yes.
It's the auto stuff, the shower, the brushing the teeth, the driving, when the brain is going, I'm just hanging out. What do you want me to do?
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I appreciate
it. Thank you both so much. I hope
Thank you.
See you.
All right. That was great. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.